I want you to start bringing Bibles. You know what? Of course, if you have it on your phone or if you have it on an iPad, that's fine. Same difference. But, boy, I want you to have that. You know, because sometimes you could just jot something in your margin, or, you know, you could do the same thing on your phone and on your iPad, too. You could add notes now. Yes, that's right. Okay. So, careful, because Gary Crabtree gave me a laser zapper. So, it's got, one is the laser, and then the other one is like a electromagnetic pulse that will blow you out of your pew. So, if you fall asleep, I can, okay. So anyway, no, we're going to read just the first three verses, because we're going to launch into Revelation by kind of giving an overview. I'll do more of an overview next week, but we're going to look specifically at the first three verses that we're going to read right now, because they're just chocked full of important stuff about this awesome book. In fact, that's the title this week, is An Awesome Book. Revelation 1, verses 1 through 3. Okay, next slide, please. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it. We're going to talk about that. He signified it by his angel to his servant John. Now, of course, that's the Apostle John. That's the one who laid his head on Jesus' chest like a pillow at the Last Supper. All right? It's the Apostle John. Now, a lot of people will say, no, it's not. And there's people coming up with all kinds of weird things. But known that this is, of course, the same apostle that wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation, all right, being in the year 95 A.D., during the reign of Domitian, okay? So, he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Now verse 3. Blessed. Now listen to this. Blessed is he who reads. Now, when this was originally written, it wasn't talking about you and I, okay? It wasn't talking about people at home that are reading, though it can apply to that. In those days, they had what were called readers, okay? They had readers in the church, because guess what? Nobody had Bibles. And they would open the scrolls up, and they would read the Word of God. And they would go through the Bible throughout the church year. They would read a lot more than three verses. Who knows? They might sit there and be read to for an hour from the Bible, because they couldn't go home and read. And so what John's saying here is, blessed is the reader, whoever that is that's reading God's word to God's people. But then he says, and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So you got reads, those who hear, and you got another word there. You got reads. Whoops, that's stuck, I guess. Those who read, those who hear, and those who keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Those who keep the things which are written in it. Okay? So, the last time that I preached through the book of Revelation, you won't believe this. Okay? Oh, the microphone? Okay, I thought it was on already. Testing, testing. Is that on now? Hello, hello. Okay, good. The last time that I preached through the book of Revelation, the Sunday that I began the series, you're not going to believe this, it was 2 days before 9/11. Sunday, September 9th, 2001. 2 days before 9/11. And that was, of course, if you're a little bit younger and maybe you're not, you just don't know what 9/11 is. I'm sure you do, but of course, that's when terrorists flew airplanes into the Twin Towers, into the Pentagon, and then flew one, because of the battle of the people on board, they flew it into a field, nosedived it into a field in Pennsylvania. But our country was under attack. And thousands of people died, you know, over 3,000 people in the Twin Towers died. And it was awful. And the Sunday, that Sunday, 2 days before, we were totally oblivious to this. You know, we came in, and I told you a story that happened, let's see, that was 2001. This happened like 7 years earlier. This happened in 1994. What happened in 1994? What happened is, in the African country of Rwanda, in the space of 3 months, the most horrible, awful genocide, most awful civil war between two factions, two different groups inside of Rwanda. If I'm remembering correctly, one was the Hutsis and the other one was the Tutsis or something like that, something along those lines. Can't remember quite exactly. Hutsus and the Tutsis, something like that, I don't know. But anyway, those two groups were warring against one another. And get this, in the space of 3 months, almost 1 million people died. Time magazine, a guy from Time, a photographer, was there in Rwanda during this terrible time. He took photographs. When you open up Time magazine, it said the words, "This is the beginning." This was a man from Zaire, which is called now the Democratic Republic of Congo or something like now. Zaire is non-existent. But anyway, this man from Zaire, he said these words, "This is the beginning of the last days. This is the apocalypse." This is the apocalypse. It's across in big letters in Time magazine, and it just showed as far as the eye could see. Dead people, bodies everywhere. That photographer that took the pictures that were in Time, he wrote about this time that he was down there, and this is what he said. His name's James Nachtway. "In 3 months, nearly 1 million people," quote, listen to this, it's gruesome, but listen. "In the space of 3 months," quote, "their heads were bashed in by rocks and clubs, impaled on spears, hacked to death by hoes and machetes." The people that were trying to get away from the civil war, the Rwandans that were trying to escape, they're trying to flee into Zaire. They're trying to get across the border. And guess what? Droves and droves of people are fleeing. Some of them are killed as they're fleeing. Some of them flee, and they do cross the border. But guess what happens? A cholera epidemic hits those people, and they die. A massive cholera epidemic. And that's what made that man in Zaire say, "This is the beginning of the end. This is the apocalypse." Well, I'm sure that you're aware that the word revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is that where we get that word from. The apocalypsis. The apocalypsis. The apocalypse of Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean what we mean today by it. Exactly. That Greek word, the revelation, the apocalypsis, or the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, that word means disclosure. It means unveiling. The unveiling of Jesus. Now, in modern times, it means like Apocalypse Now, the movie. The Apocalypse Now, it means disaster. That's the way we take it now. But in Greek, in those days, it meant, here's Jesus, and he's kind of hidden from mankind. He's kind of fuzzy to mankind. And God is going to remove the cover to show us Jesus in all of his majesty. Because, of course, Jesus, the first time he came humbly, quietly, reverentially, peacefully. But the second time Jesus returns, it's going to be at the other end of the spectrum. Because it's the apocalypse of Jesus. It's the revelation. You're going to see the veil taken back. And by the way, Jesus is the Lamb of God, a Lamb. He's that sweet and precious Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. But Jesus is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is, the Bible says, Exodus 15:3, God is a man of war. Okay, now folks, we have to go by what God says he is, not by what popular opinion says. Oh, I don't. No, I talked to a friend, and he said, oh, I don't like the book of Revelation. It's too scary. See, because human beings in our time now, in our contemporary technological mumbo-jumbo world, they want the God that's the old man with the beard up in heaven that's just sitting on a rocking chair doing nothing. But the Bible says, oh, no, I'm going to unveil Jesus like you've never seen him before. Okay? 2 days after I shared with you in 2001, 2 days after I shared with you the story of Rwanda, guess what? Those horrible atrocities came to our shores. And guess what? You can relate to this, right? Those of you that were alive then. If you compare 2001 to 2018 versus 2001 to 1965, there's no comparison, is there? Now people are going nuts. Now, I mean, I realize in 1967 there was the guy in the University of Texas, but those were very, very seldom things in America. Now, boom, 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 boom. All kinds of crazy things happening all around us and around the world. Now, of course, we could always compare it to World War I, World War II, Mao Zedong, to we can compare it to Stalin and Hitler. And listen, there were some awful things going on in the 20th century as well, in the 1900s. But all that to say is, everybody, people want to see God. They want to have in their mind God as sitting on a rocking chair with a long white beard and white hair and just totally docile, just totally mundane and quiet and, you know, not worried about anything happening in the world. But listen, Jesus, when he preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and when he preached in Revelation, because there's a lot of red letters in Revelation, because it is the revelation of Christ, and he does some of the talking there. I want to show you this verse in Matthew 24. Robert, do we have that? Matthew 24? Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were... Okay, Jesus is talking to his inner circle just before he passes, or I shouldn't say passes away, just before he is crucified and he rises from the dead. He's talking to his inner circle on the Mount of Olives, right outside Jerusalem. It's on the east side of Jerusalem. And he's telling them about the future. As the days of Noah were in the past, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, how's that? How is the return of Jesus, and we would take this as the rapture. Now, there's a lot of Christians would say, oh, there's only one coming of Jesus. But we see the rapture as Jesus coming in the clouds to get his bride off the earth. He comes in the clouds, phase one of his second coming. And then phase two, 7 years later, he actually comes to earth because the Old Testament says his feet touch the Mount of Olives. Okay? Phase one comes in the clouds and gets us off before the tribulation period of 7 years. And then 7 years later, he comes down with us and we have the battle of Armageddon. We're coming with Jesus and doing battle with him. As the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. How? How are they going to be the same? Because for, as in the days before the flood. Now, we're before the flood. What's Noah doing for 120 years before the flood? He's building the ark. He's preaching and saying, hey, y'all need to get right with God. You need to get saved. You need to put your faith. Now, listen, they believe the gospel like we believe it. Just because the Old Testament doesn't make it as clear as the New Testament, these guys were prophets. They were getting their messages right from God, and they said the Messiah is coming, and you need to put your faith in him for his gift of eternal life. They heard the good news, and Noah preached it for 120 years. But guess what everybody did? The whole world around Noah. Folks, only eight. Hey, you think it's bad in East Dallas? You think it's bad trying to get people to listen to God and come to church and hear the Word of God in Dallas? Listen, he was preaching for 120 years and he could only get eight people to church. Every single person drowned in that flood other than Noah's family. So he's preaching. When Jesus returns, it's just going to be like Noah as he's building the ark. Okay, how is that? As in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Okay. Doing what we do every day, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Now watch this. Until the day Noah entered the ark, things continued just as they always had. Life went on like normal until the day that Noah entered the ark. By the way, who shut the door of the ark? Noah was preaching and people were eating. Listen, these people were getting ready to go on their honeymoon. The day before God shut the door on the ark, they thought that they were going mountain climbing. Well, they were when the flood started rising. So they thought they were going up on the mountain for their... They didn't realize they were going to be on a boat. Actually, they're going to be on a boat, like trying to get out of the flood. But you know what I'm saying. There's people getting married the day before God shut the door. They were eating food, going out to rest. They didn't have restaurants, but maybe they did. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving, and marrying until the day Noah entered the ark. And watch this. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the Son of Man be. Noah did not tell them. He was telling them they need to get right with God. He was telling them a flood's coming, but he did not tell them the day. Jesus says, you don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man's coming. Why? Of course, why he wouldn't tell. Hey, listen, what would have happened to the disciples? The 12 apostles, okay, they added one, got rid of Judas and added a new one. What would have happened to the 12 apostles if Jesus said, hey, guys, by the way, I'm not coming back till 2045. Now, I'm just saying that, okay? I don't know when Jesus is... I'm not coming back to the year 2045. They would have said, oh, man, why should I preach? We're just going to, there's no need, we're not in a hurry. But Jesus didn't say that. He just said, you don't know the day. I'm coming, and I'm not telling you when. Noah didn't tell the people when the flood was coming. He just said, listen, you need to get right with God. You need to get saved and know that your sins are forgiven. Last week, that visitor that was here, our honored guest, he came, I sat with him, I told you, and you know what I showed him from the Bible? You can know. I asked him, you know your sins are forgiven? No, you can know it. You can know it. It says it right here in 1 John. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. And God's people, some people are doubting, like that's John's writing to doubters. And he's saying, you who have believed can know that you're saved and that you have eternal life. Wow. Okay, so what we learn here from Jesus, this is Jesus, what we learn here is we don't know when he's returning. But Jesus tells us so much about what's going to happen in the future. He gives us so much detail. And I wanted to show you another scripture here. Next slide, please. Matthew 24 and verse 21. It's a little bit before this passage. Do you have that one, Leslie? Matthew 24, 21? Okay. Is there one right before that? There we go. Jesus said, I'm going to come back in the sky, in the clouds. I'm going to take every saved person up off the earth. It's called the rapture. And he says, then, okay, and of course, in the context here, he's saying that there's going to be suffering and tribulation for 3.5 years. But then in the middle, when the end time ruler, who we call the man of sin, when he comes, there's going to be not just tribulation like the first 3.5 years, great. It's a Greek word where we get our word mega. You know, when you're getting a mega smoothie, you're getting the 48-ounce smoothie. You're getting the big one. And Jesus said, that word tribulation, ladies, is birth pains. It's labor pains. Flipsis. There's going to be mega. There's going to be big. Okay, it's one thing when you start having labor pains. That's Jesus said in Matthew 24 earlier, in Matthew 24, I think around verse 9, these are the beginning of labor pains. The first 3.5 years. But then he says, then when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then there will be great labor pains. Why? Because God's plans for the future is to birth a new world. He's birthing the kingdom of God on earth. He's coming from heaven down to earth, and he's going to be the King of kings and Lord of lords, and Lord willing, we'll be those kings and queens and lords when he does that. But let me just tell you this. He's going to rule over this earth. He's going to rule on this earth, but there has to be a baby born, which is the millennial kingdom. The kingdom of God has to be birthed. And when there's trouble, great labor pains, watch this, such as has not been since the beginning of the world. That's why I don't believe there's tons of people who believe the book of Revelation was fulfilled by 70 AD. There's four different views of the book of Revelation, and there's a bunch of people out there, the Bible Answer Man's one of them. The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, I like Hank Hanegraaff, but he believes that the whole book of Revelation was fulfilled by 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. But that's called preterism, if you want to study it, preterism. But if you read what Jesus says here, this great tribulation will be such as has not been since the beginning of the world, and this time no, nor ever shall be. Was 70 AD worse than when 50 million people got killed by in the 20th century? No way. A million Jews nearly were killed, but not 50 million. There's been a lot worse trouble since 70 AD than happened in 70 AD. So that's one argument of many that the book of Revelation could not have been fulfilled. Jesus is talking about trouble on planet Earth like Jurassic Park. I'm going to talk about Jurassic Park later. I'm talking about where people are one day in little boats and little carts looking at dinosaurs with their big long necks. Oh, look at them eating the leaves. How beautiful. How wonderful. And then they have no idea that in one moment in time, just like when Jesus returns, in one moment in time, there's going to be trouble on earth. Jesus said, such as has not been since the beginning of the world. No, nor ever shall be. That period of 7 years, and of course, this is more specifically the last 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years are going to be the beginning of labor pains, and this is going to be the great labor pains, the great trouble, the great the great tribulation on earth, okay? So, how can this truth that Jesus stated shortly before his death make a difference in our lives today? How does this make a difference in our lives? Well, today we're starting this series on the book of Revelation. I'm going to preach it 3 Sundays a month. On Communion Sunday, the third Sunday of the month, when we typically have Communion Sunday, I'm going to preach from the Old Testament in Psalms. Last year, we were alternating back and forth. Parables, Psalms. Parables, Psalms. Parables, Psalms. I'm going to be doing more New Testament this year and only 1 week in the Old Testament. But we're going to get a good dose of both, okay? Now, when Jesus spoke of the future, Jesus wasn't wasting his breath. When Jesus said things like this, he wasn't just saying them and say, well, this isn't going to really happen. And there's really not going to be trouble on earth like the world has never seen before. No, he means what he says, and he says what he means. Okay, so we got to come to grips. People say, oh, okay, different views of Revelation. All of that was fulfilled by 70 AD. Survey said, No. It's those things aren't really going to happen. It's just all about good and evil. That there's evil in the world, and it's like a beast, and there's good in the world, and it's like the lamb with the 7 eyes and the 7 horns. There's good and there's evil. And, okay, survey said, of course there's good and evil, but that's not all that the book of Revelation is not just an allegory. Okay, it's not just a story about good and evil, and that one day good's going to triumph over evil. So it's not just been fulfilled by 70 AD, it's not allegorical, and then there's another one that says it's historical, that if you read Revelation 2 and 3, it shows you what the church age was like from the day of Pentecost till the day Jesus returns. And Revelation is showing you those historical chunks that it's picturing church history. That's not a good view either. The view that we're taking, the view that I wrote the entire commentary on, that I wrote on Revelation, is what's called the futurist view. You got the preterist view, you've got the allegorical view, you've got the historical view. Ours is the futurist view. We're saying that most of the things that you read about, and it would be like starting in chapter 4 all the way through the end of the book. So the bulk of Revelation 4 through 22 is futurist. Jesus is revealing what he's going to be doing in the future, and he's painting a picture and saying, people get ready, Jesus is coming. He's painting a picture of him. It's the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus. It's the disclosure of Jesus. Our God is the humble Lamb of God, but he's also the mighty warrior who judges. Listen, the world is headed to cataclysmic judgment, and guess what? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Jesus is the judge of all the earth. John 5:22 says, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, and has given him authority, because he is the Son of Man. He is God Almighty. And so, folks, get ready, fasten your seat belts, because we're going to be on an amazing journey. I just want to give you 4 points. I'll try to go through them very quickly, but we're going to talk today about an awesome book. And I'm going to give you 4 points from the first 3 verses about this awesome book. Leslie, can you put that next slide up there? The next slide says Revelation will be an awesome book to study because it revolves around an awesome person, our Lord Jesus, and it revolves around an awesome event, his wrath on rebellious mankind. Hey, how many of you would say, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you would say, yeah, you know what, the world's pretty rebellious against God and the things of God? Listen, it's crazy, crazy rebellious. God says it should be like this, and they say, nope, we will not have this man to rule over us. We say this is the way life should be lived. And God says, no, 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 don't go that direction. Don't, you know, those are real babies. Those are real human beings. They don't suddenly become human beings 60 seconds after they're born. They're human beings in their mother's womb. They say, no, 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 no. This is my life. This is my decision. That's not anybody else. That's between me and me. And you know this. I could go on for 2 hours, can't I? I can go down one topic after another. I know God made me this way, but I don't want to be this way. I say I'm this way. My name was Joe when I was born, but I want you to call me Jolene. Okay? All of these crazy things happening in our world are stemming from rebellion against God. And God's saying, listen, I have a long fuse. And hey, everybody, don't we all agree with that? Man, if you and I were God, there wouldn't be anybody at church today. We'd all be dead. Man, we would be zapping people so quickly, but God has got such a long fuse. But guess what? Even the Bible, God says, you know, I won't be patient forever. Because one day, what's the old saying? You got to pay the Pied Piper. What is that saying? You know, one day you got to pay. Got to pay the fiddler. Yeah, if you want to dance, you got to pay the fiddler. Thank you. Okay, you get the idea. Okay, so let's jump into this. Point number one, and I'll rip through these, and then next week we're going to review some more and get into more chapter one. In fact, next week we're going to look at the Lord Jesus himself as the judge. What are his characteristics? What are his qualities? Okay, Revelation 1:1, the awesomeness of its title. So all of these revolve around the awesomeness of this, the awesomeness of that, okay? So you get the idea. Okay, now, the awesomeness of the title of the book. The revelation of Jesus. Okay, I already told you. This is the disclosure. It's the, next slide, please. It's the apocalypse. It's the apocalypse, which in Greek means disclosure or unveiling. It doesn't mean so much to disaster. We've kind of given it that now because when people read Revelation, some of the Bibles even say instead of the revelation of Jesus, it says in some of the old Bibles, the apocalypse of John. It's really the apocalypse of Jesus. But anyway, Revelation, there's that Greek word I was talking about. That's not important. But apocalypse, it looks just like it. And then, but Jesus is unveiling himself. He's showing us a sight. Hey, listen, when you're dealing with God, okay, it's not like God's just a rocket scientist. You know, in our lives, we're normally good at a handful of things, maybe one or two or maybe three or four, I don't know. We might have specialties in different areas. But guess what? God's a rocket scientist, and he's the great physician, and he's the mighty warrior, and he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. We could go on and on. He's the rock. He's the fortress. He's the deliverer. That guy's great at everything he does. He's got so many qualities. Hey, listen, the Bible says in eternity, hallelujah, guess what? We're not going to be God. We're not going to know everything. We're going to be learning about God for eternity. Can you imagine that? Now, wait a minute. How can you keep learning about somebody? Isn't the day come where you say, okay, I'm graduating? No. We're going to keep on and keep on and keep on learning forever and ever and ever about how great God is. And guess what? We'll just keep shouting. Hey, isn't it exciting this morning? We're singing praises to him. You guys are clapping. Hey, just think about it when we are free from sin. Just think about it when we have clear minds and we could understand lofty things that God couldn't put in the Bible because we'd be like, duh. Okay? Let me tell you something. God, it's just going to be awesome, and we will all learn of God. The Bible says it's going to be an awesome day in the future to be with God. So the book of Revelation is his disclosure. I put in my notes, listen to this. There's almost 8 billion people on earth now. It's getting close to 8 billion. It's over 7 billion people. There's nearly 2 billion Muslims. There's another billion that are either secularists or atheists. In other words, they don't have any kind of spiritual belief, per se. They don't believe in religion. Another billion Hindus and 500 million Buddhists. In China alone, there's almost 500 million Confucianists, Taoists, and Buddhists. 500 million in China alone. Now, those five groups I just spoke about, they account for 5 out of 8 billion people on earth. Think of that, everybody. 5 billion out of 8 billion people on earth. I didn't even bring in the idea of Christianity. So 5 billion out of... Now, they say in the internet that 2.4 billion people are Christians. But folks, guess what? That includes the whole tamale. We have no idea. Jesus said, few there be that find it. And you know what? 2.4 billion sounds kind of high to me out of 8. That's one quarter. Now, I realize they walk around and they say Jesus with their lips, but whether they're really saved or not, that would be a very interesting statistic if God could appear here and say, here's how many of those 2.4 billion who go to Christian religious churches say that they're really, who are really saved. So you're talking about a lot of unbelievers on earth. And by the way, I'm not saying every single Buddhist, every single Hindu. I'm not saying that some of those couldn't have been given the gospel by a missionary and gotten saved. Okay, I'm not saying every single one of them. They're just, if they have the name Hindu, they're lost, okay? You know I don't believe that, and you don't believe that. But we're talking about the preponderance. We're talking about most of the people, okay? So that's a lot of people. And you know, I've told you this many times in the past year. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Pain is God's megaphone. So this great labor pains, this great tribulation, this great suffering, 7 years of suffering that's going to take place, God, it's needful because God has to rouse. Hey, listen, what's the people that say, oh, Revelation can't be true, all that pain and suffering that's coming on planet Earth, God wouldn't do that. Hey, what's more godly? Just to let people go on in their unbelief, in their lack of knowledge, and then one day, everybody dies suddenly, and they're all standing before God. Isn't this idea of God taking his people off the earth and then allowing troubles to start, the beginning of birth labor pains, and just begin to multiply, just like a woman in labor? They get stronger and stronger until at the end of the 7 years, you get the bowl judgments. You got the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. It's a woman in labor. They're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. More and more trouble, more and more trouble. Why? Because God's trying to wake our neighbors and our friends and everybody up around us, our relatives, that are saying, no, God, no, God, I don't want you. I don't want to listen to you. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Okay, God has to do something. And a good God says, look, I can't let 8 billion people die without my son. He paid for their sins. He hung on the cross for them. And I better give them some trouble. And trouble like has never been on earth. I better bring it so that they might say, you know what? Those two dudes in Israel in Revelation 11, we're going to talk about them, that are preaching the first 3.5 years. Those two prophets, just like Moses, on one day they say, tomorrow this is going to happen. And it happens. And tomorrow this is going to happen. It says they can bring for 3.5 years, 1,260 days. The Bible says they can bring all forms of plagues. That's a word in Greek that means disasters, not just like diseases. Plagues is disasters. They can bring all kinds of calamities as often as they choose. So if you're preaching 1,260 days, you could be making 1,260, 2,000, 3,000 predictions, and boom, boom, boom. Some of the people on earth, instead of doing this, and shaking, oh, I hate those followers of God. I hate those followers of Jesus in Israel. Some of the people are going to say, they've got to be right. Everything they say every day is coming true. Okay, you following me? Okay, okay. So this is the awesomeness of its title. This is the unveiling of God and His power, His majesty, and we're going to see it before our eyes, okay? Real quickly, let's look at the awesomeness of its purpose. This is the next slide. Number one, the awesomeness of its power, the awesomeness of its the awesomeness of its title, and the awesomeness of its purpose. Real quickly, next slide, we're going to go through three slides real quickly here. This is what we've already read, and you can't see it, but I had it highlighted and in a different color, the things which must shortly take place. God gave Jesus to show His servants, that's believers, that's you and I, God gave this revelation of Jesus to show Jesus' servants the things which must shortly take place. He's showing us the purpose. Listen, church family, these are the things that are shortly going to take place. It's a word that means when it happens, it's not going to go on forever. It's going to come. Hey, when Jesus raptures the church, are people going to have a chance to run down to see their preacher and hear the gospel again? No. When the rapture takes place, if they haven't believed in Jesus already and they see people going up around them, it's not going to be like, oh, 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 Lord, wait for me. Nope, too late. Because when they're going up, that was the deadline. Once their feet are off the ground, 1 foot, it's too late to go, oh, 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 ah, geez. No, they're in there. They're going to be on earth for 7 years. They're going to have a chance to get saved. Now, some people believe in Thessalonians, they may not. So that's a whole nother, oops, sorry about that. That's a whole, didn't mean to blind you there, Marilyn, with my pointer here. So be careful. I'm a crazy man. Okay, anyway. Okay, they say don't point those at airplanes. People do that, you know. But anyway, okay. So, these are the things, Revelation are the things which Jesus is to show us, which must quickly. Folks, 1,000 years to God is as what? One day. Peter says people are going to say, oh, ever since our ancestors have died, they've been saying, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. They've been saying that in the 100s, the 200s, the 1800s, the 1900s. Here, it's 2,000 years. That's a bunch of baloney. One day to God is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. Jesus died in God's mind 2 days ago. So they're going to come quickly. Okay? Okay, that's this first verse under the awesomeness of the purpose. What other purpose is there of Revelation? Next slide. Jesus is talking. I've sent my angel. He sent a messenger. Angelos in Greek is messenger. Okay? So don't get it too crazy. I mean, they do amazing things, but it's just an angel is a messenger. I've sent my messenger to testify to you these things in the churches. And by the way, we're going to find out when we get to 2 and 3, we're going to find out that messenger are the leaders of the churches in Asia Minor. The seven churches, those are the angels. By the way, it's not what I put in my commentary. I'm taking a new take on that, and I'll tell you about it. Because I did take them as literal angels, but I've changed my view. It's been almost 20 years. I can do that, right? 20 years. Well, it's not been that long, maybe 15. Okay, so I've sent my messenger to testify to you these things in the churches. What's the purpose of Revelation? Some messenger needs to witness to these things. You give a testimony in court. What are you doing? You're going in court and saying, I swear by the living God on the Bible, what I'm about to say is true. And I'm standing here to tell you, I'm telling you as much as I know how to and as clearly as I know how to, that what I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and the only truth, so help me God. All right? I'm testifying in the churches these things. Okay? That's what I'm going to be witnessing to the next 6 months. In the book of Revelation. Next slide, please. He who testifies to these things, and by the way, Jesus is also witnessing because he's talking in Revelation. He's given his... Hey, isn't that great? In Revelation, we get the words right out of the mouth of Jesus. We're getting his testimony. He who testifies to these things. What's these things? This is the last... This is the last verse of Revelation, the last verse of the Bible. Jesus says, I'm testifying to these things, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm coming quickly. When he decides to take us off this earth, it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Boom! We're going to be with Jesus, and we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. All the people that are our loved ones are going to come up out of the graves first, and guess what? We're going to be holding on to their sneakers as they're going up, because we're going to be right behind them, and we're going to all be in Jesus' presence, because the bride is coming to get his bridegroom. He said, I went to prepare a place for you. He's coming to get his bride because he wants to have his honeymoon. So for 7 years in the clouds, we're going to have the greatest praise and worship fest. We're going to have our honeymoon with the groom. The bride of Christ, the body of Christ, everyone who's ever been saved since the day of Pentecost is going to be taken up. Paul will be there. Peter will be there. All the apostles. It's going to be awesome. Okay? He says, I'm testifying to these things. I'm coming quickly. And then John says, oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so God doesn't want us to be in dark. The awesomeness of its purpose. God is portraying Jesus in his role, not as Savior, not as as shepherd, not as physician. He's the purpose of the book of Revelation is seeing Jesus in his role as the judge of all the earth. And again, people don't want to hear this. Judges scare people. I don't want to go by the judge. Okay? I don't want... Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want their deeds to be exposed. Okay? Okay. So, number one, the awesomeness of its title. It's the unveiling of Jesus. Number two, the awesomeness of its purpose. We're seeing Jesus in his role as judge, and we're testifying to these things. Number three, the awesomeness of its communication. I won't say very much about this. In fact, Leslie, let's jump forward. Next slide, please. Is it stuck? Oh, sorry, Leslie, you're over here. Sorry about that, Leslie. Leslie's running the camera. It's Sun back there. Okay, don't have time to read this, but we've already read it. But basically, this verse is saying God gave the world. Okay, here it is. I'll go over this. That verse that we just saw up there says God the Father gave revelation to Jesus, the book of Revelation. Jesus gave it to his messenger. The messenger gave it to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. And that verse says then he gave it to his servants. So there's a chain of communication. Isn't that interesting? God has a multiple chain. And by the way, you could even add the Holy Spirit in there because Revelation talks about the Spirit of God being part of this as well. Of course, he inspired the Apostle John, but I think he's in that continuum there. But anyway, and it says that he signified it. He gave the word and he signified it. I told you I would tell you about that. What does that mean, signified it? That word signified, and I'll say this kind of slowly, refers to speech that gives a vague indication. In other words, signifying something means I'm signifying it. I'm putting it in signs. I'm putting it in metaphors. I'm putting it in similes. I'm putting it in these kind of metaphorical, symbolical things. I'm making, instead of just, okay, watch. God could have said and bored us to tears, one day there's going to be a ruler in the future, and he's going to really be able to speak really well. He'll have unbelievable speaking abilities, and he'll be a really, really evil man. But John doesn't say it that way. He says, I saw a beast. I saw a Therion coming up out of the ocean, out of the sea. And it had seven heads. See, he's signifying it. He's painting a picture for us. And we look at that picture and we take the time to figure out what all of those puzzle pieces mean. It's not easy. Thank God he gave us Matthew 24 and 25. Without Matthew 24 and 25, Revelation would be almost impossible to decode. We have it, and so we've got kind of the manual for decoding Revelation, okay? And so, okay, I got to keep going here. So, son, can you go ahead two more slides, and then we'll close it out, okay? Now we're going to talk about the awesomeness of his promise, of the promise of Revelation. We talked about the awesomeness of the title, the awesomeness of the purpose, Jesus's future role as the judge, the awesomeness of his communication from God to Jesus, so on and so forth, down to his people. He communicated this in an awesome way. And then you can read that this week. You can go back and look at that a little more. And then Revelation 1:3, the awesomeness of its promise. And we talked about, next slide, please. We talked about this. Okay. There's three verbs here. Reads. Hear. Keep. There's a promise here for you in the very first verse, okay, or third verse, very first section. Blessed. Hey, how many in here want God's blessing? I didn't say man's blessings. I didn't say necessarily the bank's blessings. How many of you in 2018 want God's blessing, whatever that is? Hey, we all want it. We all want it. We want God's blessings. You know what? Those people that win the Powerball, guess what? Why is it that all the people that win $200 million and they suddenly have $100 million in the bank tax-free, how is it that they're all dead within 5 years? I didn't say all. I mean, most of them. How is it that they kick the bucket? Huh. Well, maybe that's not so great after all. Blessed. This is God's blessings. Is the one who reads, that means yours truly, but it also means you as you read the word to yourself, or you listen to it, okay? Listen to it in the car, when you're getting ready, in your house. Blessed is the one who reads Revelation, those who hear the words of this prophecy. By the way, here's another evidence that Revelation is talking about future events, okay? John didn't even write Revelation. See, you know what they have to believe as well, like Hank Hanegraaff? He says it was all fulfilled by 70 AD when almost every scholar says it wasn't written till 95. How can what John wrote in 95 be prophetic? How could it be about the future and talk about what happened in 70? Okay, you get the idea? That's really weird. So they have to say, oh, no, Revelation was written in 68. Well, I took a strong stand. Listen, I had some people breathing down my neck about that. Man, they called me into a meeting and said, hey, man, we want you to change your view. And I said, I'm not going to change that. I'm sorry. I believe with the preponderance of the scholars that he wrote it in 95 AD, toward the end of the first century. Blessed is the one who reads, those who hear the words of this prophecy. It's about future things. It's not an allegory. It's prophetic. It's not allegorical. It doesn't say the words of this allegory. It's prophetic. It's future. And keep. Read it. Listen to it. Obey it. Hear it and keep it. Read it. Hear it. Obey it. Read it. Hear it. Obey it. Why? For the time is near. Jesus could come at any moment. He's not telling us when he's returning. He told you and I over and over, and he says it again in Revelation 16. I'm coming like a thief in the night. I'm coming like a thief. Okay? Okay, I got a short story and we're done. Okay? I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you. I told you earlier, if you watch, I tried to watch Jurassic Park the other night. Jurassic World was on, but I only got to watch like 20 minutes, and then some recording of mine kicked in and booted me off. said, you can't be watching three things at once. You know, I got two things recording, and I only got to watch it for 20 minutes. I was really mad. But, you know, they always start off where it's amazing. They're going down the river in the boat. Yeah, there it is. There's the boat. And you got these beautiful brontosauruses with the long necks, and they don't eat meat. So they're not going to come over there with those big teeth and take your head off. Those things are eating just, you know, flowers and greenery and stuff. Okay. That's how the world thinks. And they think of God kind of that way. Hey, we're on this trip, and God's up there, and he's just a big grandfather up there. But you know what happens in the first Jurassic Park? Well, in all three of them. Basically, the apocalypse breaks loose, and it's just the last 2 hours of the movie, man. You're sitting there having heart attacks one after another, and, you know, you're not ready for it, and this big Tyrannosaurus Rex comes out, and the whole screen is filled with that dude's mouth. And, man, you feel like you're going to get swallowed right down his throat. And you know what, everybody? That movie really is a good example of the book of Revelation. Because what happens is Jesus takes the church off the world and he says, okay, I'm rolling my sleeves up. Now you're going to see from Revelation 4 all the way through Revelation 19 what the judge is really like. You're going to see the power, the majesty of God Almighty and his judgment of sin. God judges evil. God judges evil. And you know what? People don't want to hear that nowadays, but you know what? Every word of God is true. Every word of God is pure. We need to take God at his word. Does us no good. Hey, you know what it does? Preachers, it does their churches. You know, there's a lot of churches that say, oh, I've never heard Revelation. You know, Gerald told me, I was talking to Gerald this past week, Gerald told me that people come up to him all the time and tell him, oh, you know, we don't even know what Revelation means. I said, well, hey, tell them that I'll come over there on a Saturday and I'll do four Saturdays. If you want me to, I'll come there and teach all these people. You know, I said, I'll be happy to, if they want to hear Revelation, I'll come and give them a little primer on it on the weekend and come on Saturday if they want it, you know. I can do that because I love to do that. But anyway, all that to say is this, everybody. A lot of people just want to push Revelation off to the side. But listen, it's one of the greatest things we can preach. And listen, think about it if you bring people with you. If you get people to start coming, we got 6 months to do it. Listen, if you can tell them a little bit about what's happening on Sunday and you get their interest peaked, they may come and hear it and may get saved. I know it's difficult, but it's not impossible. Teresa said, with God, nothing's impossible. We got to believe it. Folks, I'm fasting and praying. I'm driving around our neighborhood in my car. I'll come up to the office and I'll just take some time when I should be eating lunch. I'm not eating. And I'm fasting and I'm driving around and I'm saying, Lord, there's people everywhere around Ridgepoint that need Jesus. Lord God Almighty. And you know what we're going to be doing later this year? I need people that'll come and help me, that'll meet with me on a Saturday where we can come and start putting Revelation flyers on people's doors. And we can start putting invites. And we can even start going knocking some doors and saying, hey, maybe we'll hand them a jar of strawberry jelly and say, hey, we're at Ridgepoint Fellowship, and we just want you to know we're here. We're part of our neighborhood, and we want you to have this. Have a good day. And just put a seed in their brain. What's that all about? Free Smucker's jelly? What? I like that. Even better if somebody came behind me and gave them a bunch of those. Kelly, what are those things you slice in half and put in the toaster? Huh? Not bagels. The ones. English muffins. Yeah, you just put like half a stick of butter on that and then cover it with that jelly. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing better than that. But, you know, you get the idea. Okay, you get the idea? You know, we'll do some of that. We'll do some of that. And by the way, if you can't do that, if you're not physically able, then you'll be praying for us. Okay? You'll be lifting us up in prayer. Hey, last summer, for VBS, we put them all over. We put about 1,000 flyers out. And you know what? People came that had no idea what was happening inside this building and brought their kids. I talked with them. Talked with them in the hallways while they're waiting for VBS to finish. It was awesome. Shared the gospel with them. So, hey, we got a big work on our hands, but guess what? We've got the greatest, mightiest, most wonderful God flowing through us to do this work. And we have great days ahead as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The next 6 months, we're going to unveil Jesus, maybe unlike ever before, and we're going to get to know him really, really well. Okay, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for their patience, Lord. And I know that I preached a long message today, but Lord, I thank you so much for their patience and their love for your word. And Lord, I pray in the days ahead, we won't just get a head full of knowledge. We'll get a heart full of zeal. We'll get a heart that's on fire for unsaved people and a heart that is broken over our friends, our co-workers. Lord, Lord, we know the truth. We just need you, Lord. We need your power and grace and help and strength. And Lord, you could use us, but we've got to be obedient to you. We've got to listen to your voice. And so, Father, today we just humble ourselves before you, and we want to be used to you so that we could hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Use us, Lord. Bless your people. Bless our life groups this week. Bless all that we put our hand to, Lord. Bless those that pray continually and just pray and lift us up to God. Lord, bless all of us. Help us to read and to hear and to obey revelation, Lord. And we pray it in your precious name. And all God's people said, amen.